It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what is going on? Going to be a nice quick little podcast for you this Thursday. My name is Dan Bach. This is the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. We think it's the most important podcast you will listen to each and every day, because what I'm doing is I'm trying to make you a better daily fantasy player, giving you all the information about the promos coming up so you can jump in on those. And of course, analysis of the day's games. Now, Major League Baseball, when we have day games like we do today, I usually just talk about the night games in our analysis. So, if you're looking for some day game information, I wrote the daily plays column today. I actually think there's some really good options at pitching today out there in the early games. Most of the hitting that I like takes place in the evening game. So we'll talk a little bit about that here shortly on the podcast. Also, coming up a little bit later on the show, we're going to be talking with Pepsi 7. Who is that, you ask? He was the latest DFBC qualifier going to Vegas. His name's Chris, lives north of the border. Certainly excited to bring him on the show, and we'll talk a little bit about his win and his plans for Las Vegas coming up at the end of July. Last thing I want to basically discuss and remind you of is Profanity Sports. If you signed up through our links on Roto Grinders, we still are putting two people into the tournament that is going to send somebody to Las Vegas and also give them a chance to enter the Super Contest at the Las Vegas Hilton, the biggest sports handicapping contest, I don't want to say in the world, but it's certainly one of the most renowned out there. And it's one of those prizes which, more likely than not, most of you are not going to partake in, but for $50, or if you can get an entry into this tournament through this avenue, this is a good way to do it. Now, the tournament's sold out, so remember, this is the only way for you grinders out there to get seats, is if you signed up through our links, you either have won the most money the last 10 days on Profanity, or have the highest score. And I think that promo wraps up either June 9th or June 10th. So make sure you go over there and play a couple games. Again, if you haven't played any, it doesn't matter. You just need to get that highest score if you don't think you got a shot for the most money won. So that's just a quick rundown of a couple of things we have going on. But I want to bring in my interview with the next man going to Las Vegas. His name is Chris. Joining us now on the podcast, certainly excited to bring on the next qualifier headed out to Vegas for the DFBC. Of course, $100,000 prize going to somebody out there in Vegas. And the June 1st finalist, this was just past Friday, Pepsi 7 was the guy who landed up on top. His name is Chris, and he joins us now on the podcast. Chris, congratulations on the big win for you, and welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you very much. Excited to be here.
Now, tell me a little bit about your history as a fantasy player, because I looked, and it looked like you joined FanDuel in late May. And I kind of, you know, one of the great things about Roto Grinders is we can kind of see what you've won. And it seems like you've kind of been dabbling in, like, the lower stakes, large field events. And you end up on top of, you know, the biggest tournament that FanDuel runs every week. Tell me about your history a little bit with daily fantasy sports and fantasy sports in general.
Well, I've been a huge baseball fan all my life, and I've been playing fantasy sports for a good 10 to 12 years now. I do a lot of pools. Actually, I'm in 11 different pools this year going in, some daily and some weekly. And a friend of mine just beginning of this ball season said there was a site that he was playing for hockey called FanDuel, and they do baseball as well. We should check it out. So eventually he came over one weekend, and we watched a bunch of games and whatnot there, and he introduced me to the site, and I was basically hooked immediately. And I've been playing it every day since.
Now, you're north of the border, so you're probably more of a, I don't want to say probably, it's kind of a broad assumption coming from, you know, us Americans. You like hockey, obviously. Now, are you more of a hockey fan or a baseball fan?
Growing up, I was more of a hockey fan because basically it's religion here in Canada, but I'm actually a much bigger baseball fan now. I'm a huge baseball fan, and no sport really comes close to it anymore. So, yeah, it's all baseball for me now.
And obviously you did pretty well last Friday picking your team. Looking up and down, pretty interesting lineup that you put together, because a lot of
discussion we've seen is with like team stacks where people will take all the players from one team. You didn't go that route. You kind of mixed and matched and hit on quite a few guys. Now, how many teams did you end up putting in this past week? And tell me about your strategy that you found in playing the larger field tournaments.
Yeah, that strategy of all-in-one team works pretty good if it's in Colorado and you get a 10-9 game. But I find when I've done that, I've tried that a couple times, it didn't work for me. But I put four entries in for this Friday, and the one I like most actually was the one that won. I basically just thought they get a good strikeout pitcher that's home against a good matchup, which I got with Baumgartner against the Cubs. And then the rest of the lineup was just trying to find good matchups, guys that hit well at home or various ballparks against good matchups in pitching. I love lefties when they're facing right-handed pitchers and at home. I think that's a good matchup. And, you know, for example, like Pappy as a guy that always hits well in Toronto. I've watched him kill my team as a Blue Jay fan for years. So he's the guy once he lands there I tend to jump on. And other guys like Alexi Ramirez and Jason Kipnis just had good matchups. And Kadir at home is pretty easy in Colorado. So well, that's just what I look for, basically. And I just seemed to hit the right buttons that night.
Well, 76 points, a little bit over that, pretty good score there. You didn't blow everybody away, and I can't remember because I wasn't following it the whole way, but how did this work out for you in terms of landing up top? Were you at home following it? Is this a situation where you woke up the next morning and said, whoa, look at, I won? Tell me how that night or the next day went.
That was funny. I was watching it. I've got the Major League Baseball package, and I'm a huge fan. So a lot of nights I will do a few entries in various pools and just sit back and kind of watch my guys as they hit, or I watch my pitcher as he throws. And if I'm doing well, I'm kind of hooked. My wife said to me about 11 o'clock that night, when are you coming to bed? And I said, I don't think I can now. I said, my team's done pretty good. I got a bunch of late guys going, and I'm going to have to ride this out. And throughout the night, I just kept climbing and climbing and climbing. And not in my wildest dreams, but I think I was winning it. I just kept thinking, hey, I might win a lot of money. I'm going to place pretty high. And, you know, I watched the race to the end at 1:38 a.m. So it was quite a thrill. And, yeah, the scenario that came down to was amazing, too.
Now, what was the scenario that it came down to?
Well, basically, there was a guy in first. I was in third place probably shortly after, I would say, midnight. And there was two of us in second and third battling each other. And if Baumgartner held on for the win, we were both going to jump into second, or first and second. But he was ahead of me, and I couldn't catch him because he had the same pitcher. He had Melky Cabrera going, and I had Mike Trout going. That was the last game of the night, or last two games of the night, sorry. And I knew by looking at the top 20 that basically nobody could catch me for second. So I knew I needed Melky Cabrera for him to get out, and I needed Mike Trout to get a hit for me. But I was, I think, 2.5 points behind him, so I needed at least a double RBI double, a triple, a stolen base. I needed 3 points somehow. And so I watched Cabrera fly out for him. And then Mike Trout had a chance to come up in the eighth, and he was on deck. And they pinch hit with his tourist, the Angels did, and he was facing the Gondo. And he battled him and battled him and battled him for about a 10-pitch at bat. And I just kept thinking, just get on somehow. Just give me a chance to get Trout a hit here. And there's a couple runners on, too. So eventually, Asturias, after about 10 pitches, it's a weak ground ball to second. I'm like, ah, damn it, no chance. And Kinsler boots it. Routine ground ball. I'm like, I'm alive. And Trout comes up, bases loaded, with a gift at bat, really, and singles the right field to give me my hit, and he cashed in, too, to put me in first place. And at that point, I knew I was done. I knew I couldn't lose it at that point because there was nobody basically left to hit, so... Pretty exciting, man.
Wow, that is very impressive that's exactly how it went down, and you remembered it to the T. I love that. And Mike Trout, see, that's the one thing I love talking to all these winners week to week, is that there's always a different player who makes the difference. There's always that one guy who you can look at and say, had this hit, who you suddenly, I have to imagine you're maybe a little bit more of a Mike Trout fan today than you were a week ago.
Absolutely, yeah. He'll one of my favorite players forever now. But it's funny though. I mean, I had a lot of guys have big games earlier, but when it comes down to the last at bat of the ninth inning, that's always what you remember, and that's the one that won it for me. Really, was that hit pushed me over the top for sure. So, you know, he's just a great player to have. He's one of those guys I love. He's five tools. You can hit a triple, steal a base, hit a home run. I mean, those guys are really valuable.
Absolutely, no question. We're talking with Chris. He's the big winner from the DFBC last Friday night, going to Vegas. And a little bit over a couple of months now in the for the chance to win $100,000. Now, Tell me a little bit about your name, because, you know, I saw Pepsi 7. It's not a name I recognized, and I thought it was strange, because normally a lot of people have some sort of meaning in their name, and I was like, this guy's last name can't be Pepsi. So tell me a little bit about the little nickname that you use on FanDuel.
Yeah, well, I'm a big baseball fan, and I play a lot of sports, play hockey and baseball a lot as well, and as a teenager growing up and in my early 20s and whatnot, playing baseball and hockey, all your friends go out, have a few drinks after the game and whatnot there, and I don't drink, can't stand the taste of alcohol for whatever reason, so I'd always have a couple of Pepsis from the cooler outside the locker room, and everybody used to make fun of me, basically, calling me Pepsi and things like that, and joking, and then all of a sudden it just kind of stuck, guys would start calling me that, and then around the league, umpires and other teams would get to know you as a nickname, and then away it went, and basically all my friends or buddies and fellow teammates call me Pepsi, and that's it. It's stuck, and it's not something you get to pick, but it could be worse, I guess.
No, that's not bad. That's, like I said, that's actually a good nickname to have. It kind of fits the situation, and like you said, it could be much, much worse. Now, what's the plans for Vegas? You know, you got $100,000 potentially if you can win this tournament. You mentioned you're married. Is this a situation where you're bringing the wife, or you bring in your pals, or have you not even thought about it yet?
Well, at first it was going to be the wife for sure. She was up and jumping up and down with me by the end of the night. They're not a huge baseball fan, but she understood what was at stake there, so that was exciting. But then when you realize what it's all about and it's just a two-day weekend and it's basically a shot a lot of money, I thought maybe better to take my friend who's also a huge fantasy baseball guy too, and probably better use him and use all his help and knowledge to help me win this. So that's what I ended up deciding, and my wife said that she backed out, and she's wonderful that way, and decided to take your friend, and I'll sit back and hope you can win some money.
I was going to say, you know, if she'll be a lot happier if you win $100,000 than she will be on missing out on a trip to Vegas, because I have a feeling she'll probably get a nice little something if you end up winning out there.
Yeah, she'll be rewarded quite well, yeah, for sure.
Now, any plans, right? Any plans now to like change up your playing style? I mean, I noticed, like I say, you're kind of like a lower stakes but really large field tournament. Are you going to kind of play a little bit more of the scenario, what we're going to see, or you just think it bottom line comes down to best team's going to win that weekend?
Yeah, it's tough because anything can happen in one day. Like, for example, tonight I played and I got Felipe Paulino in a few pools, and he takes a line drive off the leg in the first inning and he's gone. So luck plays a huge role in this when it's just one day. But, I'm just going to go down and pick the best team. I'll probably start researching it a week or so or 2 weeks in advance to see who might line up pitching-wise and batters and who's hot and who's not. But, the reason I played the low stakes early on when I first started FanDuel was just that I put a bunch of money and didn't want to lose it all in a month. I wanted to have some fun with it and wanted to enjoy it. So play the low ones and see if you can win some mid money. And I'm still playing with it just to see what I like, what I don't like, and feeling it out. To be honest, as you said, I've only been on 2 weeks now. So, you know, I'm addicted to it, but there's still a lot to learn. There's so many different options and games to play. I'm still figuring it out here. So,
well, I'll say this much about it. Looking at your profile in RotoGrinders a little bit, I mean, you've cashed in quite a few of these larger tournaments, you know, where you've got 1,000+ people. So, you know, you certainly don't mind going against a lot of people, and you've actually had some success doing it. So it'll be definitely very fun and interesting to see somebody. And like you say, you're pretty new to the industry. You got a month and a half or so now to kind of get your skills in order, because, the biggest daily fantasy game of your life going to be coming up at the end of July.
Yeah, no pressure there, eh?
Hey, Chris, certainly appreciate your time here. Thanks for coming on the podcast, and we'll see you out in Vegas.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. I'm excited.
Time for me to take a quick moment and say thank you to my good friends over at Daily Joust. Now, this Friday, they've got their usual $1,000 guaranteed prize pool tournament, and they've been putting bounties on people. And believe it or not, the bounty is going on a guy named NHL Pro on Daily Joust this week. And you're like, why would they have an NHL guy have the bounty on him this week? Well, because he's been dominating this tournament. He's had like top tens like four in a row. So time for him to really step up to the plate, and we'll see how he does. If you finish higher than him, it's an extra badge, which of course goes towards your total, and we'll get you eligible for monthly free rolls on there. But lots of great tournaments, lots of great games. Already getting pumped up for football season over there. I thought they had one of the best college football products in Daily Fantasy last year. And if you are a college football fan, I'll tell you what, Daily Fantasy college football is way more exciting than you ever thought it would be. Really makes the Saturdays out there much more enjoyable. So make sure you check them out. Please open up an account, sign up through our links here on Roto Grinders. And if you don't know, we've got a great free roll coming up for people who sign up through our links over there. $300. If you sign up through our links, you get involved in this every single month. Starts on, I believe it's Friday, and it's going to be a 50-50 format type contest where 50% of the people move on, 50% of the people go home. So it's a fun little contest, and certainly give them a try to earn your daily fantasy business. Great sponsor here, the podcast. They are DailyJoust.com.
Relax. All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides, after fashion, throw some ground ball. It's more democratic.
Okay, tonight in Major League Baseball, we're going to skip the early games, go straight to the late games tonight. Let's start it out in the Bronx with the Yankees and the Rays. David Price and CeCe Sabathia, probably not going to see a lot of runs scored in this one. Yankee starters have been red hot, 0.74 ERA over the last three games, and they have actually finally passed the Rays out there in the American League East. Now, New York has won a season-high four straight at home when... And CeCe Sabathia is basically taking the mound. He's 3-1, 2.37 ERA this season at home for the Yankees. Now, Sabathia has allowed two unearned runs while striking out a season-high 10 over eight innings to beat Price and the Rays 5-3 on May 10th at Yankee Stadium. Not many Rays hit CeCe Sabathia all that well. Sean Rodriguez, 9-for-25 with a homer off of CeCe. So when he is your best hitter against him, probably a pretty good chance he's going to have a good game. So I don't think taking CeCe is a bad move tonight. Last game for David Price versus New York was his worst outing of the season. Allowed a season-high 5 runs and 11 hits over 7 innings. But he's been really good lately. 2-1 ERA of about 1.5 over his last 4 starts since then. Nick Swisher, pretty good numbers, 11-for-28 off of Price. Derek Jeter, 2 home runs. Of course, one of those was his 3,000th hit. Also betting .295 off of Price for his career. Baltimore and Boston, Brian Matthews, Clay Buchholz. Maybe it's time for me to finally admit Matthews isn't that bad, as he's 4-1, ERA under 3 in his last 5 starts after starting 0-3 with an ERA of about 8. So I'm sure as soon as I take him in one of my lineups, he goes back to being the guy with an ERA of about 9, but we'll see what happens. He gave up a solo homer to Kevin Youkilis, but only one other hit and one walk while striking out a season-high 9 in 6 1/3 innings in his last start against the Red Sox. Now, Dustin Pedroia off the DL, I wouldn't bother with him until he gets going a little bit. 0-for-7, 4 strikeouts since coming off that thumb injury. David Ortiz also cooled off a little bit. 2-for-15 in his last 4 games. Also 1-for-13, 10 strikeouts against Matthews. So don't bother with Big Poppy today. Adrian Gonzalez, boy, he's frustrating. You think he's going to break out one of these days. Maybe this is the game. 4-for-6 against Matthews in his career. Clay Buchholz allowed 10 runs in 9 innings over his last two starts against Baltimore this year. He was real solid in his last 2 overall against Tampa Bay and Toronto. J.J. Hardy, 4-for-6, a couple of home runs off of Clay Buchholz, and Matt Wieters batting .353 in his career against Buchholz. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, Kevin Correa, Mike Leake. The Cincinnati Reds have won 4 consecutive games started by Leake. He started 0-5 with an ERA of about 7 in his first 6 starts, but he's been 2-0 with a 2.19 in his last 4. Now, Leake is 1-3 despite having an ERA under 3 in his 7 career starts against the Pirates. I really like Neil Walker tonight, 6-for-16 off of Leake. Jose Tabata, .417 average against Leake as well. Kevin Correa, he gave up 5 runs in 7 innings in a 6-1 home loss to Cincinnati on May 4th. Now, Joey Votto, 1-for-8 only against Correa, but that one hit was a home run also in the middle of a 14-game hit streak. Brandon Phillips, 7-for-24, and Zach Cozart, 2-for-4 with a home run. Also, 3 multi-hit games before his 0-for-3 game yesterday, so I think Cozart's not a bad start if he's in the lineup. Atlanta and Miami, Mike Minor going against Mark Burley. Now, the Marlins going to try and break out of their funk and avoid being swept by the Braves. who give the ball to Mike Minor, who basically has the worst ERA in the major leagues at 6.98. Now, the Marlins have already knocked around Minor for 6 runs, 6 hits in just 4 2/3 innings earlier this year, and he's 0-1 with a 7.65 ERA in 4 career starts versus the Marlins. Now, Minor is 0-3, ERA close to 10 in his last 3 overall. If you don't take a couple Marlins, I think you're crazy. Giancarlo Stanton, 2-for-3, 2 home runs, 3 walks against Minor. And Logan Morrison, 3-for-5, a homer off of Minor in his career. Just a couple of guys. But if you took Reyes, you took Hanram, I think you're going to be in good shape. As for Mark Burley, coming off a shaky outing, permitting 4 runs and a season-high 11 hits in 5 innings in Friday's loss to Philadelphia. He gave up 4 runs and 6 hits in 6 innings in his last start versus the Braves earlier this season. Dan Uggla's hot streak continued. 3 more hits yesterday. He's also 3-for-6 against Mark Burley. And Brian McCann also 3-for-6 against Burley in his career. St. Louis and Houston, Lance Lynn going against Jay Happ. Now, Lynn walked a season-high tying 4 and also yielded 3 runs in just 4 2/3 innings in his last start against the Mets. But the one thing about him is he gets lots of run support. The best in the majors at close to 7 runs a game. Now, Jordan Schaefer could play on Thursday after being out of Houston's starting lineup the last couple of games because of illness. The only other guy maybe to consider, Jose Altuve, 6-for-10 in the series with the Cardinals. Since throwing a 2-hitter on August 30th, Jay Happ has not been good. 7.62 ERA while losing his last 5 against the Cardinals. Now, he walked 4 and gave up a season-high 6 runs and an 8-1 loss at St. Louis on May the 6th. Alan Craig, I think a lot of people are going to have him in their lineups today. 5-for-7, 2 homers against Craig for his career. Also a 4-15 hitter off of the Astros and a nice hot streak of 4-for-9 in the 2 games of this series. Combine that with his stats against lefties, 3.26 for his career, since 2011, and Alan Craig looks like a great bet today to have a good game. I think all the Cardinals are going to have good games. Tyler Green, 4-for-9 off a Happ. Matt Holliday, 5-for-11 with a homer. Molina, 6-for-14 with a homer. Carlos Beltran, 2 home runs, 6-for-18. So basically stack them on up and reap the benefits today with the Cardinals. Last game to talk to you about is the Toronto Blue Jays and Chicago White Sox. Henderson Alvarez against Jake Peavy. Now, the Blue Jays look to sweep 3 games from the White Sox in Chicago for the first time in more than 22 years Thursday night, while matching their longest win streak of the season. Henderson Alvarez, he fell to 0-3 with an ERA of 6 over his last 4 starts by giving up 4 runs in a little over 6 innings and a loss to Boston on Friday. Now, Alvarez pitched well in his only previous start against the White Sox, allowing 2 runs in 7 innings of a 2-1 loss on September 27th. Paul Konerko could be back for the Sox. I said that yesterday. Didn't happen. A couple of guys who had good games against Henderson Alvarez the last time they faced him, Diaza and Gordon Beckham, both 2-for-3 against the right-hander. As for Chicago, they've lost 3 of 4 since their 9-game winning streak, which capped a 13-1 stretch. Jake Peavy has been solid most of the year, was really good in his last start, but struggled the couple of before that. But the thing is, his offense has bailed him out some, so it hasn't been too devastating. Jose Bautista, probably avoid him. He's been hot, but 1-for-10 against Peavy for his career. He did have a homer and does seem to be seeing the ball really well, but historically has not done great in Chicago. So that's the quick rundown of Major League Baseball for today. Best of luck in your matchups. And that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. We thank you so much for checking us out. Please follow us on Twitter at RotoGrinders. We'll give you all the information you need leading up to start times, I guess, for Major League Baseball today, and a very good tool for you daily fantasy users. If you like the podcast, please go to iTunes, subscribe to it. It'll be there for you each and every day, or simply just come back here to Roto Grinders. And if you have any comments whatsoever, either leave them in the podcast page here on Roto Grinders or send me an email, dan@rotogrinders.com. Till tomorrow, everybody, hope you have a great night, and we will talk to you then. See you, folks. My name.